This episode is brought to you by George Foreman's Knockout Pain Relief. Welcome to The Last Storm. My name is Mark Flatt, and I'm calling in from the Pocono Mountains in Pennsylvania. Today, as always, I'm joined by my brother Dave. He's calling in from Maryland at the banks of the Potomac River. Thanks for joining us. Here we go. But dude, I'm not kidding, dude. Every single time, two of the last three times, like I spent an entire episode telling somebody in some sort of media position that they're fucking idiots and they need to fuck off. Like, not kidding. Dude. Like, so every time I'm not with you on the podcast, I'm telling everybody to fuck off. So that's my natural state.
Single podcasting is hard. I remember doing a few by myself with the Yankees and me calling you up and being like, I'm done. I can't do this one anymore by myself, you know?
Yeah.
Like, and you'd be like, all right, I'll help you out. But like, to me, like, you're right. There's a balance in there of doing it by yourself versus having help. And in a strange way, anybody that does a sports podcast by themselves, you know, like I got mad respect for it because like, there's a lot of talking to yourself at home by yourself in the basement if you're doing a podcast by yourself. You know, like you're talking to yourself a shit ton. And why I like having somebody like you on the podcast is because it's easy conversation. We're never struggling at saying, what's next? You know, like, we might say fuck you to a bunch of Oklahoma City Thunder media. You know, by the way, I want to say this is when Sam Presti, right, said in the media, said they was asked if the Oklahoma City Thunder media.
He wasn't asked. He just said it. He just mentioned it in his opening statement.
Oh, okay. That's right. He basically said the Oklahoma City Thunder media had been fair on them. Like, to me, like, fair is like a C. You know what I'm saying? Like, like, how many times have we seen, like, a New York Knicks turn on them? You know, on the Knicks. You know what I'm saying? Or the Boston media turn on Boston. Like, I feel like the last 2 years, Sam Presti has been getting pelted by the Oklahoma City Thunder media. Yeah, when they're with him, they talk all his praises and say, oh, you're so great, Sam. But behind the scenes, there's been a lot of, like, you know, we don't agree with Sam's picks. We don't agree with this. We don't agree with that. Like, really throwing him under the bus. And I feel like when people say that we're homering or we're a podcast that is, you know, paid by the Oklahoma City Thunder, that's not the case. What we like to do is we like to make sure that people are understanding what Sam Presti's side is or what the Oklahoma City Thunder side is. And I feel like with these other podcasts, they get stuck on making sure that their vision, making sure that people understand who they are as a person is more important than what's happening inside the Oklahoma City Thunder locker room.
Yeah, I mean, that's what happens, but we enjoy the banter. We enjoy basically understanding that, like, there's going to be a lot of people who want to see things happen, but our goal is just to watch what's happening and recognize that, like, so many things that we can't really quantify are the little things that are the foundation of the next phase of the Thunder. So that's what it's all about, because we don't know what that's going to look like, but one of those things has become our commitment to hard work and our commitment to play defense at a high level, no matter who's on the court. And when you see that type of stuff, you start to see the foundation of the next great Thunder team. And that's going to come from those dog days of summer. That's going to come from the hard work, you know, when you're the last man on the bench and now you're being called on. But in the end, those guys are the foundation and their habits are the foundation. And more people will wear that uniform. But seeing guys like Cole Aldrich, who I wouldn't say played a ton of Thunder minutes, be, you know, brought into back to the Oklahoma City Thunder, like their legacy group, that means that everybody who's on the court now will be welcome on that group too. And that's meaningful.
Yeah, and you could tell like that meant something to Sam Presti when we talked about it in the interview. I wouldn't say that he got choked up, but you know, you could tell that it was meaningful to him talking about the fans and their interactions with these players that, you know, they saw them standing up and then they all started standing up and cheering. Like, it meant something to him as a GM, because he's the one that's drafted all these players. You know, he's the one that signed all these players to come and play for him. So, you know, it's a big thing to see these young men really become men, and ultimately have families and bring their families back. And, you know, we saw so many great stories through that. I think that's the great thing about the NBA family is even in the playoffs right now, Mark, how many teams have Oklahoma City or ex-Oklahoma City players on them? I mean, almost every single one. You got Atlanta and Miami, which just ended, right? Miami defeated Atlanta 4-1. And, you know, good job for Miami to get that done pretty fast. But we've seen players play for Oklahoma City on both teams there. And then you have Boston Celtics and the Nets. Boston Celtics beat Nets 4-0. You know, Al Horford was a big reason why the Celtics look amazing this year, which we all know Horford played for us last year. KD, well, we all know who plays on Brooklyn that played for us before. So there we go. There's two more teams that have our guys. We have the Chicago Bulls. I think it's pretty out there that they have coached Donovan over there. So they're actually down 3-1 on the Bucks. So the Bucks have been playing pretty well. But again, we're seeing this. And also on the Bucks, we have a couple players there, maybe not getting a lot of minutes, but they're ex-Oklahoma City Thunder players as well. So, man, this is exciting. You got the 76ers in Toronto. You know, like, these guys all have some type of connections to the Oklahoma City Thunder, whether it's the assistant GMs, whether it's player developmental coaches, assistant coaches. It's so crazy, Mark, seeing how already that there's a massive tree and what we can call a Sam Presti tree in the NBA that's just completely fascinating.
Yeah, it is. And just knowing that each one of those guys, you know, is a part of our organization really forever because of the investment they made. And that's what makes it so easy to be a Thunder fan. And one of the many reasons that we appreciate what Sam Presti has built here, because it's not very hard for us to think about Oklahoma City before we had the Thunder, and it was just the Hornets, and even before the Hornets, but as it was like that Hornets team was leaving, it felt like, what just happened? Like, we invested 2 years into this team and they're gone, and it doesn't feel like it matters anymore. And we felt like we'd have to basically remind everybody that the Hornets ever stopped in Oklahoma City in the first place, because it seemed like it was a dream that wasn't going to, you know, be real. So I feel like this is just kind of like one of those things that you might see a team like the Jazz do, or a small market team that understands how important it is to keep a connection between the players and the fans. Because these players, you know, one of the things Sam Presti said in his interview was just that if you haven't done all of the things that are included with being a Thunder player, like the meal drives and the toy drives and the shopping sprees and all the things they do in the community, then you haven't got a 360-degree look at what it means to be a Thunder player. Hmm. And those are the things that are really cool, is like that Nick Collison for so many years was in the front lines of being a part of that. And all these guys were handing out food and toys. And now that, you know, investment they made gets to stick around. And as we look toward the draft, we realize that the next player, we understand like a certain quality, not just the next player, but players this year in the future. And we have four picks in this coming draft that are really nice picks. So we're anticipating, you know, quite a bit of new energy coming into the organization. But understanding what Presti and the organization is looking for, and out of all the, you know, teams, I feel like the Thunder pretty much make it incredibly clear exactly what their values are and who they're, like, the type of player they're looking for. And a lot of times not everybody can see who that player is early on, so it's more about the person that person is than the player, really.
That's a good point, man. And I think that's why it's been impressive to see how this organization continues to grow. You know, we see Sam Presti make these moves a lot. You know, I sent Mark over the most notable draft day trades in NBA history. There's players like Kobe Bryant drafted from Charlotte to the Lakers. There's players, I mean, the Suns drafted, I don't know. Anyways, there's a massive list of just insane draft picks that didn't work out that people thought were, and they traded the farm for. That's one thing I appreciate about Sam is that, you know, he could have been on the panic button last year, you know, like saying, oh man, the top three are the top premier three. I've got to get one of these three. He could have pushed panic and traded three or four of our first round draft picks to move up and do it. We've seen teams do that to get Markieff Fultz, right? We've seen teams do this before. So it's not a big surprise to say, or out of this world to say this would be something that would, you know, not happen, or this is something that would happen. So Sam Presti could have pushed panic. He didn't. He stayed content. This year, it's going to be something similar. You know, we're going to see Sam Presti get the best player at that position that he believes is going to be the best player. Not what anybody else thinks. I mean, whether that's, I mean, we could be looking at it completely wrong where Mark and I are like, this is the guy. But the reality is that Sam is looking past a more mature and older group of players, you know, and that's when you look at people like Jabari, you look at people like Keegan, and you have to sit there and wonder, like, what is Sam's idea of this next draft going to be? Is he going to be picking the best young talented player for the future, or is he going to pick a better fit? Or is he going to pick a more mature guy that's ready to go and plug in for a playoff run? And that's what I have to stop and just sit back and try to appreciate, because I have no idea where this is going, but I'm pretty excited about it.
So one of the guys you mentioned, Keegan Murray from Iowa, what do you think, how do you think he fits in? I think you kind of probably think he's probably one of the more ready players to play right now. What do you think, man?
Yeah. So, I mean, I hate comparing players, but the way that he gets the ball and brings up the ball, the way he finishes, the way he attacks, it reminds me a lot of a small Giannis. You know, that's why he's getting a lot of looks right now. A lot of people are starting to circle him. I mean, he's 21 and a half years old. I think he'll be close to 22 by the time the season starts. So he's a little bit older, but he's out there. He looks like a man amongst boys in every college game I saw him play. He's strong, he's athletic, he's fast, he can shoot. One of the better shooters as far as forwards on the draft board. So, and he plays multiple positions because of his size. So he can play power forward, center, and small forward. Honestly, the way he has quick feet, he could even play shooting guard. So, yeah, man, I like Keegan. I like Keegan a lot. And the more I see about him, there's players every single draft that rise up really, really fast. And also next thing you know is their top five pick. You know, Keegan is one of those guys that has done that. Yes, you know, I saw him at like 12 or 14 halfway through the year, but his big jump happened towards the end. And I think it's because of the way he's been able to show his athleticism. You know, comparing him to Giannis is something, because Giannis doesn't have a shot really. I mean, he's effective, but it's not really something. Whereas Keegan's shot is going to be a big problem for defenses in the NBA. I do think that it's going to take a little bit of time for him to transition, but it's going to take a lot less time for him to transition than somebody like Paolo or Jabari, because he, you know, is 2 years older than them. He's more mature. His body's more ready for the NBA. And if you're trying to go to the playoffs right now, Keegan's your pick. And the reason that is because you're going to watch a team like the Pacers pick him up at number five, or whoever at number six. He's going to be drafted right in that area right there. He doesn't slip past six. There's 0% chance he slips past six. So to me, I look at Keegan and say, yeah, if Jaden and Shaden are all off the board, then I have to be circling Keegan as a legit option. And, you know, maybe the Thunder get the sixth pick and Keegan is a legit option at that point, because I like him. You know, I just don't want to see the Oklahoma City Thunder use their first pick for a player like Keegan, which I would be happy for, trust me, unless something happened in our draft where we dropped down the draft board. Because Keegan's a great player, but if you're comparing him to a Jabari, if you're comparing him to a Chet, if you're comparing him to a Jaden or a Shaden, I feel like he's, you know, he's just short of their potentials. I mean, Keegan, if you're listening to me, forgive me. You can punch me in the nuts if you want. You're a phenomenal player. But the reality is that, like, I look at this Oklahoma City Thunder team as being a perfect fit for other players in this draft. And so there would have to be a lot of players that came off the draft for Keegan to be picked. What do you think? I feel like I'm putting my foot in my mouth right now.
No, it's all good. I was letting you take that one as far as you could because all right, so here's the thing. He's 21 years old, so that's a clear, you know, red flag that generally speaking, we like to pick with our later picks older and younger with our early picks. So with that concept that he, you know, might be gone after the top six, you know, then I question whether or not he would actually be even in our top 10 because of, like I said, that balance of age. Now, he's 6'8". He's not particularly quick, and his shot takes a little while to get off. So I'd say it's effective, but at 21 years old, he's got, what, so 2 years? 2 years to make that transition before people start questioning whether or not, you know, he'll get the next deal. If he was 19, right, then it would be like, okay, there's a chance that we'll give him 4 years because, you know, you don't want to give up on a player before they're 23, right? So that's where I kind of look at, and it's got to happen fast. So I'm not thinking that he's our guy just because of the things I mentioned and, like, overall his complete lack of any level of, like, explosiveness. And also I question if he has, like, a James Harden-esque signature move where he can, you know, get that off against players at all levels. Yeah, he does look like a man against boys, but in a big way, he's playing against boys. So that's
that's what Giannis looks like out there too, though. You know what I'm saying?
But here's the thing. And anytime somebody says, this guy looks to me like this player who's an all-time great but not as big, I'm like, that's a little bit nerve-wracking because one of the things that makes those players incredibly effective is their size. So, yeah, he does look like a Giannis amongst college athletes. But in the end, like, that deliberate drive where he takes massive steps, that's what you're kind of saying, like, that is a little bit similar. And if he can't do that in the league, then he runs the risk of not being able to get a shot off. Not any of them, his three-pointer or his driving shot. He might basically have his runner. And if you have just your runner going into the league, you can build off of that, but it better be Trae Young good or you're in trouble.
Yeah. And that's why, again, the hesitation's there with that pick if we were to ever look at him. And that's why, to me, like, Donovan Mitchell last year that came out of Baylor, the Kings selected there, you know, we talked about him for a very short amount of time, but we said over and over and over again, the same thing was his age was the concerning factor. Yes, some players figure it out, you know. Look at
Davion Mitchell, right? Davion Mitchell.
Yeah, Davion Mitchell. Thank you. Yeah. You know, look at House Jr. You know, late in his life, he figured out how to play in the NBA. They are examples of these players out there, but they're far and few between. So that's why I have to say you're right on this is, you know, young on this draft, there's so many young players that are so incredibly talented. I got to take a step back, and if Shaden's on the board still, or if Jabari's on the board, or if,
let's talk, you know, Jabari, bro. Like, because we talked a lot about Shaden, and obviously we fell in love, and that's, you know, to be expected at this phase, especially before we know, like, our pick number, because we could easily end up with a pick that isn't in a spot where we could get him. So a lot of that's outside of our control. But at this phase, you know, Jabari Smith, he looks like we're talking about, what do you think, top three?
Yeah, he's going number two at this moment, unless somebody like Jaden Smith jumps him. Jaden Ivey jumps him. He's going number two. And the reason is straight up, he's the best shooter in this draft. He's 18, almost 19 years old. He's 3 months away from being 19 years old. He plays forward, small forward, power forward, but in the Thunder system, he played, he'll play center too. I'm telling you right now is that as far as his size, he's 6'10", he can shoot, he can play defense. I mean, there's everything you would want in a big man coming out of the draft. Like, I know people are going to talk about Chet Holmgren, and yes, Chet Holmgren is unbelievable. But I look at Jabari Smith as one of those players that it's once in a lifetime ability to get him. You look at KD the same way. Yes, KD's a lot skinnier, and you really can't compare Jabari and KD's games. But the way that Jabari scores from the outside is that it makes me wonder if he can make his game like KD's in the aspect of it's all about behind the arc. And if so, then he has way more value in this draft than anybody else for the Oklahoma City Thunder. Because if his game can be behind the three-point line and he's a scorer, a pure scorer, like, it's over for the Oklahoma City Thunder. You throw him in there at small forward, power forward, it doesn't matter. Center, he'll get it done for us, and he can score at all levels. So that's what's so impressive about this draft, man, is Chet, Jabari, Jaden, Shaden. Those four guys are going to be big-time scorers in the NBA. You know, we watched last year as what we would consider big-time players in the NBA come out. Once-in-a-lifetime generational players come out last year. But this year, man, it's all about the scores. It's going to be intense and insane to see these guys go through that. There's only one scorer that's in the top 10 that I would say it's not really a scorer. It's more of a, he's more of a second-tier scorer. He's a second-player scorer, a Robin to someone's Batman. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But everybody else, man, like Jabari Smith, man, like out of all the guys in this draft, if I had to pick a guy at number one, like Chet obviously makes me drool on so many levels, but there's little, if any, prospects that have ever come out like Chet. But for me, looking at Jabari, it's immediately like this young man on all levels is spectacular.
Yeah, like whereas like you're saying Chet, one of a kind type player, at least first since we've been really paying attention to the NBA, we've seen players with incredible size, but you know, a player like Dirk, he was drafted so late, it wasn't like anybody was like, wow, like, watch out for Dirk or Giannis or like even Joker. So I think Chet, we're looking at him and we're like, he's kind of like a known commodity that could maybe turn out like one of these generational players who just has the ability to do it all and changes the game on both ends because of that. But when I look at a player like Jabari, like you said, he's like the prototype, right? Like 6'10", incredible wingspan, explosive athlete, has range that, you know, easily knocks down the college three-point shot, which is extended out so it looks more like the NBA, but it's not quite there. It'll take a bit, but like I think he's got that shot. Like you mentioned, is he the next, you know, Al Horford or KD? You know, that's basically what, like, the question, right? Like, is he gonna end up being limited? Like, Al was an all-star, so well, I'm not, you know, talking trash on him, but like the thing about Jabari is his shot is a lot faster. So I look at Jabari and I'm like, this guy is a Jason Tatum level athlete player. He's like, you know, yeah, maybe he has a ceiling that's lower than that because we can't see, you know, some elements to his game that are required. But like I look at Tatum and I'm like, yeah, like Jabari's got that level of game in college. Now, that doesn't mean he's going to walk in and play that level in the NBA. It just means that if he works hard, he can get there. Like, and I knew Tatum was good, but like what he's done since he's got to the NBA was a lot more than, you know, I think even he knew he had to do to become a star. Like, it's hard work to reach that level, and it takes years and years and years of things like Olympic ball and stuff like that to develop. But yeah, Jabari kind of has me excited like that.
I mean, you mentioned three players there when talking about Jabari. You mentioned KD, mentioned Al Horford, and what was the last one?
Tatum.
The point is, you have a combination of players that I thought the same three players when I saw him play, right? To me, that is a very good sign. And yeah. And to me, the fact that I didn't have to say that to you and you just mentioned that, like, it kind of makes me like, ooh, like maybe this player is something special, because like we watched Al Horford play for us. We know what type of leadership his style does. And that's when I see a Jabari. That's what I see most in Jabari is his leadership style, the way that he demands the locker room, the way he demands the floor, right? Reminds me of Al Horford out there, right? You know, like Al Horford, I mean, he was a great scorer, but he wasn't as polished as Jabari coming out.
Right.
You know, you look at KD, you know, he's way more aggressive than KD. He's more like a Tatum in that aggression coming out. So, man, like, it's intriguing. Like, why? Like, we do this. We do this every fucking year when we're talking about players, man. We fall in love with a handful of players. And we're like, we'll take any of these players. You know, Jabari is one of those players for me that if we got, I feel like it would be not just a phenomenal thing, but it would be one of those things where we look back and be like, man, we're so glad we got this guy. 6'10", man. He could play center for us. And being that he's that quick power forward that we talked about that we need on this team, like, we don't want big guys, right? We don't want big slow men.
He's a small forward to me.
Yeah. Like,
I get that he can play power forward and center, but the way he shoots the ball offensively, like, you want him. Yeah, and his foot quickness. You want him with the ball on the wing attacking downhill. And
yeah, but that's the offense. Our offense, we don't sit one guy in the center position and down low and doesn't move. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, that's the beautiful thing about our offense is that, yes, he would play center position, but that's just like, it's just a number, or it's just a name in our offense, because everybody touches the ball in our offense.
I mean,
outside the line.
I can't think of a comp for him in the draft because of his age, like, his game and his size. Like, there have been very few players that, like, kind of check all those boxes. But I would say, like, when you're talking about a player, the closer they can be to this, like, prototype, like, that's usually a sign of greatness. Like, it doesn't mean he has the drive, but I'll tell you this, when a player gets to the level he's at right now, they don't get there without drive. So it's more a question of, like, will he be able to stay as driven and healthy in the face of, you know, all the distractions in the world? That's it, which to me seems pretty likely, because it doesn't seem like Bruce Pearl's Auburn is a distraction-free environment.
It's not. And if you look at Bruce, one of the best things that he does is teaches players to pick and pop, teaches players to pick and roll. I'm telling you right now, if you guys have a chance, you're listening to us right now, your homework assignment, guys, go pull up YouTube, put Jabari Smith and say pick and pop. And I assure you, you will all be impressed. You'll all see his pick and rolls. You'll see whatever he does on the pick side. It's elite. And so when you're thinking about it and you're seeing him do this, just imagine him with Shea. Just imagine him with Josh Giddey. Like, that's the thing about these guys, is that when we're breaking them down, we have to stop and we have to imagine their game with Shea, Josh, Dort. You know, these are the guys that we stop and be like, can his game translate to that game? Can his game be better if he plays like this? And that's what we consistently go back to. So would Jabari, does he fit with Shea? Hell yeah, he does. Does he fit with Josh? Oh my God, it would be beautiful. So that's what we stop about. That's what we get excited about, is when a player checks those marks off to be a player that's going to not only be good in the system, but to be able to shine with other stars that we already have.
So yeah, we want him. We want him. But, you know, I would say in a lot of ways for us at this stage, like, there's a lot of reasons to fall in love with everybody we talk about. But Shaedon Sharpe, the reason I would still say he's probably ahead, in my opinion, if we had the number two pick or the, you know, even the number one pick, we might pick Shaedon first, is because we want players that have more growth potential based on the ability to play maximize the number of years they can play in the NBA within our system. And I think we believe so strongly in our system that it's almost like a year in college is almost held against a player because we think that it's, you know, better for us to have them working for us for that year. And a lot can go wrong in a year with college through injuries and learning bad habits. And I don't necessarily think that that will be something that holds Jabari back, but it could be something. You know what I mean?
I agree. And I really, I hope whoever we get has that potential. Like, again, if we don't get one of these top six players, it means we drop pretty far back in the draft. And people would be like, oh, that would be the worst case scenario if you guys ended up with 7-12, right? It would suck, right? But if we end up with 7-12, that's about as good of a chance that we end up with 2-4 or 2-3. You know what I'm saying, Mark? Right? There's exact same amount of chance. So again, for us looking at it, if we got 4-12, you know, I'm happy with the numbers that we have right now. But so, if you're asking me if we got 2-3, like who we would pick out of this draft, I don't think there's any discussion about it. I think it would probably end up being something like Jabari and Jaden or Shaden. Those would be the two guys that we would walk out of this draft.
So if we were to look at someone like, let's just take and play like a Freaky Friday, right? Keegan Murray is suddenly Jabari's age.
Yeah.
Okay. And Jabari's Keegan's age.
Yeah.
Who do we take in that spot?
Well, man, that's the problem with the mindset that we have with the Oklahoma City Thunder. It's like we like you said, we value the age thing so highly. 2 years to have a player in the Oklahoma City Thunder system, right, is massive. Now, I don't think that Sam would say no to somebody like Keegan if he thought the future was Keegan, right? Or wouldn't say no to Jabari if Jabari was almost 22, if Jabari was the future. And who knows? Sam could be watching Keegan this whole entire time, ever since he was a freshman, saying, this is a player I want to draft. This is a player I want to draft. Like, we don't know what's happening behind the scenes. It's all about that age to me at this moment, though. Like, if you're looking at somebody like Jabari and you're saying Oklahoma City Thunder will have him for an extra 2 years to help develop him before he's at that age, like, I mean, that's a big thing, man. Like, you know, if Jabari stayed in college for 2 more years, where would he be at?
He'd be one of the most decorated athletes in the history of college basketball.
And that's what my point is that Keegan is decorated. You know, he is probably the best player in college basketball this year. But that comes with age. You know, like, players that are good these days aren't staying in until they're 22 years old because, like, in the top of the draft, these are the teams that are rebuilding, and they typically don't want an old player. Like, you know, Mitchell, I think, was a methodical choice by the Kings, recognizing that, you know, his older brother was going to be a free agent soon.
They're actually not brothers, bro. I looked this up. They're really not actually brothers, dude. We're not the only people that gets tricked by that, bro. But they're not brothers.
You're kidding, though, right?
Nah, dude.
Oh, right. Shit, bro.
No, seriously, they're not.
Because Don, he said something about, he was like, it was great to see my brother play over the Kings. Like, yeah. They must be playing that up, man.
Dude, they're not brothers.
Shit, bro.
I know that, like, it's so easy to think, too.
Yeah, man. All right, but well, fuck the Kings for even picking that, then. Like, pick young players, Kings. Come on, man.
Yeah. I don't know what's going on with the Kings, but I do know that the Jazz are hoping they get to hang on to Mitchell because the Knicks are actively recruiting at the games. So, what the hell, man? Anyway, yeah, I mean, so I think, you know, I'll answer my own question about Jabari and Keegan. Like, I think that for Jabari, right, like, his game is so good that we would pick him irregardless of whether or not he was 20 or 21 years old, right?
Yeah.
But Keegan, the only way we'd pick him, I think, would be if he was 18 years old. Based on just, you know, what I've seen. I don't obviously know. I just think it's kind of like a situation where you can't really tell, like, what exactly, you know, we're looking for. But for some reason, like, there have been a few players that I've seen play like Jabari, not his game style, but his dominant level with his size, his position, his skills, generally you don't see them in a player his size. And when you can say that about a player that's 18, like, you know, he's extremely high on our list. I mean, I think every team has him up there. So that's not a surprise. Yeah. It's just, will we have the opportunity for him? That's my biggest question.
Yeah, man. And it is a big question because I don't know. I look at players. If this was the 90s and you're looking at somebody like Tim Duncan, who played 4 years at Wake Forest, you know, right? I don't know, man. Like, if this was Tim Duncan, I'd say, fuck it, pick Keegan. But it's not Tim Duncan, man. It's just not. And I think that's where it comes down to, is that now we got to look at it like Jabari. Where is he ranking amongst the rest of the guys that we're looking at?
Okay, I mean, if Jabari went 4 years, dude, then we'd be talking. We can be comparing him to Duncan. There's no doubt.
Like, no doubt about it. No doubt about it, man. And I think that's the reality, is that you're looking at Keegan, you're looking at Jabari, and you, in a way, you're comparing them, and I don't feel like there could be much of a comparison there, because, like, I think Keegan is, in a way, another distraction in the top five. Like, he could slip down to 6 or 7, and you know, who knows? The Thunder could pick him up regardless. But I just don't see Keegan being that future. Whereas I see there's a number of other guys in the top 10 that I would be like, I could see the Thunder pick here.
Yeah.
But if we're talking straight up Jabari being once in a lifetime generational player, I think that there's more chance that Jabari is that than Paolo is that, or even Chet is that. You know, Chet, there's just so much unknown. Like, I could be wrong with Chet, of course, with everything, but with Jabari, to me, it's like almost a guarantee.
Yeah. Well, I say we let's talk about Paolo on Friday, bro. Let's cover him, and we'll throw somebody else in there too. But I think that'll be a lot of fun. We got to keep doing this, bro. Cause
what about we throw in who we think the Thunder's 12th pick is going to be?
Yeah, let's do that. Let's do Paolo, and let's talk about where we think we'll go with that 12th pick. Because, shit, dude, I think there's a lot more to be, you know, said, but in the end, it's one of those drafts where I feel like as soon as they know the lottery, people will start talking about, okay, this is consensus 1, 2, and 3, and there's enough sources, it'll kind of work its way out. The biggest question generally is going to be what we do, and that's what we love speculating about. So we'll stick with it, and we'll be back on Friday. You got anything else, bro?
Nah, man. Just have a good rest of the week. You going fishing at all?
Maybe. The weather's a little bit chilly.
It looks like it got pretty crappy there when we've been on the phone.
Yeah. Well, a little rain, but not too bad.
All right, man. Well, right, we'll man. Talk well, Friday.
All right, man. Talk to you then. And thanks all for right. joining us, and we'll see you on Friday. And as always, this episode was brought to you by George Foreman's Knockout Pain Relief.